You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that's in its 30s but is deeply considering picking up skateboarding again. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's talk about some things we have been checking out this week while also doing sweet, sick ollies.
I was going to say kickflip.
360, doing no scopes. I don't know.
50-50 board slide.
Grinding it.
Into a pop shove it.
And unlocking Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah, and that's how you, and that's how you get Shrek on his skateboard.
Yeah,
yeah, the Doom Marine, Doom Skater.
All right, well, hey, I can go ahead and do my couple of checks real quick. So the first one is not really a show or anything that I watched. I wanted to mention I guest hosted on another podcast last week.
Cool.
The episode hasn't come out yet. It's on the Teach a Dummy podcast. They're a bi-weekly. I think they're bi-weekly. They're just getting started. They only have a couple episodes out, but it's a couple friends of the show, BJ and Tim. You might remember a couple months ago we said we had a live studio audience for one of our episodes. It was actually them sitting in and kind of learning the ins and outs of doing a show. And they invited me on to teach them about podcasting. They had some questions because that's the whole premise of their show. They have kind of like an expert or something, or the closest thing to an expert they could find in my particular case, and to come on and kind of tell them about a different, just generalized topic. And
I think you can safely say you're an expert. What are we getting up on 500 episodes at this point?
We're getting close to three or four, I think. Yeah.
Three. Okay.
Three. Yeah. We're getting close to three, which that's about 200 more than I thought we were going to get to be honest. But no, they had me on to talk about podcasting and talked about everything from the technical end, asked me about equipment, asked me about setting up Patreon, just the whole
shebang.
Just everything. Yeah, the whole shebang. We ended up talking for about 2 hours and it was a lot of fun. I was really glad to be on their show. And like I said, I don't think that episode has gone up yet. It might be another week or two, but I'll let you all know when that episode drops, because I actually go into the hidden history of Nerd Overload a little bit. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it was a lot of fun. They have a really good setup over there, and Tim and BJ are they're a couple of good guys. So that was pretty fun. The other thing I have actually kind of ties into that. It was almost weird. It was kind of eerie. So I had spent some time with my folks earlier that day, and my dad had mentioned this movie that he had just kind of remembered out of the blue that he had watched when he was in high school. It was called Colossus, The Forbin Project. And he was telling me about it. And I said it just kind of came to him. He might have watched like the last 5 minutes on like Turner Classic Movies or something like that. But I said, oh, yeah, I'll see if I can try to find it, you know, and went on and got over to BJ's to record. And before we recorded, just apropos of nothing, he said, hey, listen, I got this movie. I found it on DVD. I watched it. I think you're going to love it. I'm going to let you borrow it. Hands me a copy of Colossus, The Forbin Project.
That's weird.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, super weird. So earlier today I sat down and watched it, and they were both super correct. It was a great movie. So the premise so the premise of this movie is it's a pretty standard premise. It's was made in around 1969-1970, and it's set in kind of not the future, but a time like a 70s where there's way more technology. And it's about this this doctor, Dr. Charles Forbin, who creates this supercomputer that is supposed to end all war. It's supposed to take care of, it's basically NORAD with a brain, essentially. Like, it's supposed to combat threats to the United States and take over the defense and pretty much be a defense Skynet. Mechanism, kind of like Skynet. And as soon as it gets kicked on, it goes, hey, I found another one, because the Russians, you know, Cold War, the Russians had built a similar computer, and the two computers start communicating, and it's slow at first and then faster and then faster. And then they develop their own language, so the humans can't understand what they're communicating with. And then all of a sudden the computer starts taking over and starts threatening to release nuclear weapons if both governments don't bow down to it, so that it could end all war, because that it was its prime function. And it was really kind of a real thinker of a movie. It was definitely along the lines of like the fear of Cold War, fear of nuclear retaliation, that sort of thing. But and it had some comedic points, but it reminded me a lot of, just kind of in tone, not so much in like premise, but in tone of like Logan's Run a little bit, just because it's that late 60s, early 70s, hard sci-fi, dystopian, kind of the beginnings of a dystopian future kind of situation. It was really cool. It's a really, really fun movie. It starred, the actor's name is Eric Braeden. Have you ever seen the soap opera, The Brave and the Bold, yes. But no, like Bold and the Restless, yeah.
No. Bold and the Beautiful, that sounds right.
Well, whatever. There's like a German guy named Victor who's been on that show for like a million years.
Oh, the Young and the Restless.
Young and the Restless, that's it, yeah. Yeah, well, the guy Victor on that show is this scientist who creates this computer that gets a brain of its own and kind of takes over, and it kind of ends on a down note. It's kind of a bummer of an ending, but highly recommend it if you can find it. It's really good.
Huh. It sounds cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I'm doing as good a job explaining it as I could. I mean, that is kind of the one thing with movies from the 60s and early 70s. It is a little slow, but in this particular case, I think that slowness and deliberateness of the film kind of adds to the overall atmosphere of the movie. Definitely worth checking out.
It sounds like it could be a Twilight Zone episode.
It kinda, yeah. It's almost like a Twilight Zone episode stretched out. It's based on a novel, I guess. But yeah, really good. Okay, I'm done. You guys are up next.
What was that movie we watched last night that was so bad? It was called like Extremity. I think it was Extremity. It was on Shudder.
Okay.
And it was about the, you know, those like extreme haunted houses.
Oh, okay. Is it like a haunted house like from the 90s with the, like the backwards baseball cap and hyper colors?
you sign a waiver and they basically torture you.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
They can,
yeah.
Like, literally torture you. Yeah. And kidnap you.
Yeah. And it was about one of those, but it goes wrong.
Oh.
And the girl they pick up like kind of has like some past trauma and some mental issues, and everything turns on its head, and the movie seems kind of exploitative and insensitive.
Oh, yeah, I was kind of telling by your tone there that you might not feel too highly of it.
No. To be fair, I fell asleep a little bit in the middle.
Always a good sign.
Yeah. But that was more the movie's fault than mine.
Sure.
If it was entertaining, I wouldn't have fallen asleep. But like, it was written in a way where like, it didn't have any sort of message other than, boy, this is pretty messed up, huh?
Oh yeah, oh, that's the worst kind.
Yeah.
Worst kind of movie where there's nothing. There's just shock for the shock's sake, kind of.
Yeah, and it deals with this woman's trauma of really heavy issues, but doesn't attempt to say anything about it.
Oh.
And it feels like it's just using this stuff to be shocking, and which is not cool.
Yeah, that's not cool at all. No.
Yeah. Not to mention, like, she ends up, like, killing the extreme haunted house people.
Mm.
And, like, it's just like, well, yes, because she's crazy. Like, no, that's not cool.
Yeah. No. Definitely doesn't sound like a recommend on this one.
No. I was just kind of, like, randomly threw something on that was on Shudder, and it was not a good pick this time.
Mm.
There's plenty of good movies on Shudder, and this was not one of them. I mean, we did watch a good movie on Shudder though too. I forgot about that. We watched The Changeling. This is a movie from 1980.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, real haunted house kind of movie.
Mm.
About a composer that moves into a historical house because his family got killed in a horrible accident, like road accident.
Okay.
And while he's living in the house, he starts like hearing ghost stuff and seeing ghost stuff, and a spirit in the house reveals a huge conspiracy to him about a local senator, and it's really interesting and really well done and good.
Huh.
Even though it is kind of old and a little slow, it's apparently a real classic. Like I looked it up afterwards, it's considered one of the better thriller movies ever made, I guess.
Oh, cool.
Which, I mean, it was really good, and it's apparently based on a true story, like, down to a lot of the minute details, which is pretty wild, because it was a pretty wild movie.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
So, yeah, there's your recommend. We got one bad and one good.
Oh, hey, in the group chat, you've been talking about that Jay and Silent Bob game, too.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
It just came out, like, a couple days ago. It's Jay and Silent Bob's Mall Brawl,
mm-hmm.
which... I don't know, we've talked about how we feel about Kevin Smith these days.
Yeah.
On the show a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of the better ones. This is like the best thing, the best Jay and Bob related thing they've put out since, I don't know, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. But it's an NES style beat 'em up along the lines of like a Double Dragon.
Oh,
or
cool.
A River City Ransom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually... like legitimately 8-bit, like it could run on an NES. It is an NES ROM basically.
Oh really? Oh wow.
And it's actually really solid little beat 'em up. It's got an interesting mechanic where if you're playing single player, because of course you can do co-op where one person's Jay and one's Bob.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're playing single player, you can swap between the two, and the one you're not using slowly regains health over time, so you can strategically swap out your Jay and Bob.
Oh, that's interesting.
As you're playing through the levels.
That's
which
really
are
smart.
Just like chock full of like view askew references to everything. There's a lot of Mallrats because it takes place directly after Mallrats.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I saw one of the enemies you can punch up is the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, you can beat up the Easter Bunny. You can beat up a Mooby suit, like mascot person.
Uh-huh.
You get to fight LaForge, the mall security guard.
Oh, nice.
There's a couple throwbacks to the Clerks cartoon, even. The pet store owner, whose name was Patrick Swayze, but he was voiced by Gilbert Godfrey.
Oh, yeah.
He's like one of the bosses. He busts out of the pet store on his horse named Point Break. And you have to fight him.
Oh, that's great.
And Leonardo and Plug show up just as regular enemies at one point.
Well, that sounds awesome.
And it's kind of spoilery, but the end boss is a Shadow Jay and Shadow Bob who you fight, and then they do like the Dragon Ball fusion dance,
mm-hmm.
and turn into like a blob monster that looks almost identical to Dark Matter from the Kirby games.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds super great.
Yeah, I was surprised at how much I actually liked it. And weird fact, it was made by the guy who used to do the very, very old, like, original proto web cartoon Eskimo Bob. I don't know if anybody remembers that.
Ah, wow. I am not sure if I recognize that.
It's like the oldest of the old web cartoons. Like, it predates Homestar.
Really?
I don't think I've seen it.
It was super simple. It was just like an Eskimo guy punches a hole in the ground and pulls out a fish and then eats it and then burps. And that was the first episode. And they get more elaborate as it goes on, but it was the original web cartoon.
Wow.
That I really enjoyed as a kid, as a teenage, preteen. But he's still knocking around, apparently making NES games.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, we watched that. Oh,
Solar Opposites?
Yeah, did you watch that, Josh?
I haven't watched it yet, no.
Oh, you haven't watched it yet? Oh, I thought, well, we can't both talk about it now, but I didn't like it.
I thought about it, and I don't... Fine.
It's yeah, I guess
it's
that's...
not trying to be deep or anything, and it knows what it's doing.
Being being another Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And it is. It's
without feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a dumber Rick and Morty. Not that Rick and Morty is like super smart, but like that's what it is. It's just even the one alien is just exactly Rick.
Oh sure. Yeah, I got that just from the trailers.
He doesn't even do like a different voice really. It's just like sometimes he says things in kind of an alien way. Is the only difference between him and Rick.
Do you think they're setting it up so that they could cross it over with Rick and Morty at some point and say that this is the Rick of whatever parallel universe?
I don't know. I don't know if they can. Because this is a Hulu, like, Disney joint.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe not then. Huh.
That's weird. That's weird to think that Disney owns it. But they do, because they own Hulu.
They own everything.
Yeah. And you're right, it wasn't bad, like, it wasn't offensive, but it also wasn't like, oh boy, I gotta watch me some more of those. Because we watched, like, maybe three episodes, but there's no need to, like, run out and watch it now, that's for sure.
Like, I keep seeing it every time I get on the Hulu, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm already in the middle of, like, 100 things right now.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing ever.
Watch something gross and violent.
Yeah. Which, of course, it gets gross and violent.
Oh, of course.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
We've all watched Rick and Morty. We know exactly what we're getting.
This just seems like it's him unbridled.
Yeah. He's not being held back by, well, I don't know if held back is the right word.
Reined in
by Dan Harmon.
Yeah.
And, like, the one alien is Rick and the other one's, like, a undepressed Jerry. Like, an optimistic Jerry.
Weird.
Jeez.
And he always has a different bad t-shirt on in every episode that just has some, like, dumb quote on it, which is kind of funny, but not funny enough where I can remember what any of them said.
I mean, at least it's not like the joke of Brandon from OKKO where his shirt changes, like, with his emotions.
Yeah.
Or what's going on.
It's a lot like Early's hat in Squidbillies.
Ugh.
Except not hillbilly related.
Man, I hate Squidbillies.
Oh, I like Squidbillies.
All right.
The baby death trap.
Well, Josh, do you have any check-ems for the...
Let's see, I've been doing a few things. I've been playing Sunless Sea on my Switch.
What is that?
Sunless Sea is like a top-down exploration type game. With some, like, Cthulian kind of things. Like, there's madness and all kinds of stuff. But you're basically a steamship in an alternate history Victorian time.
Hmm.
And you're sailing in London or around that area, but it's all different. Like, London sank under the ocean, like, a long time ago due to, like, some supernatural event. And so, like, the world changed and everything, and you have to manage your fuel, your supplies. If you run out of supplies, you know, you might have to resort to cannibalism and all kinds of stuff like that. And you go to different ports and different places. You can either take people places, you know, do quests and whatnot. There's monsters and other ships you can fight. There's all kinds of stuff.
Is it like a Sid Meier's Pirates type of thing? Or
No, I wouldn't say that. Like I said, it's all top down, and actually, I had to look at the controls because I couldn't figure out exactly what I was doing. They don't really tell you what to do when the game boots up. And
it sounds neat, though.
Oh, it's interesting. You die a lot, and each time you die, you have to start a new captain. And depending, you might lose your entire sea chart of like places you've discovered and stuff like that.
So it's like a real roguelike situation.
I wouldn't say it's quite a roguelike because like nothing's procedurally generated per se. Like the map's never different, but depending on what you did with your legacy of your previous captain, you might not know where to go. Like you might have to rediscover places.
Hmm.
You know, stuff like that. It's not bad. Getting money seems to be a really hard thing to do in the game.
Just like life.
I mean, yes,
gotta get that money.
Like I said, like I'll like on a couple different playthroughs, or not so much playthroughs, because I keep dying. I haven't accomplished a lot in the game. Yeah, but I'm like my, I don't know, third or fourth captain or whatever, and it's like I'm learning more each what I'm supposed to do each time. But it's like, good lord. But I know it's not a bad game. I picked up like the Ultimate Edition or whatever it is, where you get like the submarine DLC or whatever. I haven't touched that yet.
Mm.
Have you played any Wild West and Wizards yet?
Oh no, I can't.
I saw you got it.
Yeah. What else have I been doing? I'm watching The Dragon Prince. Finally, I'm like 5-6 episodes in.
The Dragon Prince. That is that the Netflix animated?
Yeah.
It's the one made by the guys who did Avatar.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that one.
I watched a couple episodes of it, and I didn't not like it. But I never went back. I don't know. I couldn't tell you why.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know, 5-6 episodes in or something like that. I mean, I like it. Sometimes it's kind of weird to watch because it's got that pseudo CG look to it.
Mm, yeah.
And so people move kind of funny.
Yeah, it's got like a low frame rate. It's weird. Yeah.
And then like, especially, it gets really weird when you get to Aunt What's-Her-Face, who only communicates in sign language.
Hmm.
But then like, the backgrounds are painted.
Oh, nice.
So like you get like this weird mishmash of its traditional backgrounds, or at least they look like traditional backgrounds, with these weird CGI Ruby looking people.
Mm.
That's what it kind of reminds me. It almost reminds you of watching Ruby, just not as fluid.
I've never watched that either, but mostly because the first episode is like a movie or something.
Kinda. I liked Ruby. It's really good up until the point when the creator passed away, and then it's, I don't know, like it didn't feel the same after that.
They should have stopped, but they didn't.
Yeah. I kind of played a little bit of Evil Genius for an evening.
Oh, that's the one you can get for free.
Yeah, I don't know if you still can right now, but yeah.
I grabbed it, I think, the day before yesterday.
Yeah, that base simulator where you're like a 60s, 70s, like Bond villain era kind of thing.
That sounds really
awesome.
Yeah,
they're making it. Yeah, the whole reason it's free right now is because they're making a second one.
Oh, cool. Okay. Right on.
Yeah, it doesn't seem bad. Like, you're constantly trying to, like, build your base, and your secret base in the mountain or whatever, and but you're also managing, like, your crime networks in the world to earn more money and whatnot.
Mm.
But you also got to, like, capture or kill investigators or agents from the world's policing organizations or whatever you want to call them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like the Americans is called Patriot or something, and then like the Russians have Hammer. Mm. Like there's like this whole world map kind of thing. Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. Well, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, I ran out of money and I kind of hit a roadblock on what I could do, so I saved and I haven't gone back.
it's not free anymore.
Oh, bummer.
But the game is really old, so it can't be that expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad I grabbed it the other day. I must have just got in underneath the wire. It's $10.
It's $10? Oh, okay. That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into some news. Hey, we're back. That was Superman by Goldfinger. I almost said Goldmember again, but...
You're welcome.
But, so Cody, why did we play that super sweet ska music? Other than it's super sweet ska music.
We're from Holland, and isn't that weird?
Because they announced they're doing a remaster of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 that's coming out in September, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, which is super great.
That kind of just came out of nowhere. I was like, holy crap.
I was like borderline obsessed with these games as a teenager.
Especially 2. Oh man, I played so much 2.
Oh, I played all of them up till, like, I think Tony Hawk's Underground was the last one I really got into.
Oh, yeah?
That one had, like, a career mode where you created a character and, like, got to become a pro skater. That one was pretty cool. They're all pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember playing a little bit of Tony Hawk 1 and 2. Not a whole lot. I didn't own them, but I remember playing some of them, and I remember liking them quite a bit. They're pretty cool.
I mean, that kind of like started the whole huge push of like X game video games there in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like after like the big popularity of like Tony Hawk 1 and stuff, it was like, oh, man. Yeah, like Dave Mira's BMX and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, Dave Mira, Bam Majera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He kind of almost took over the Tony Hawk games towards the end there.
Yeah, yeah.
With his brand of comedy.
Comedy?
Comedy? Punching your dad?
Yeah.
His brand of dad punching?
Yeah, I remember that show. That was not... didn't care for that one.
That boy needs to respect his elders. He's out of control. I can't remember anything about that show, honestly.
Oh, I don't.
Now that I think about it. Yeah, him punching his dad awake in the morning is the only thing I remember.
Mm.
Or just doing really awful things to him all the time. I feel bad for his parents. He's all the time like they built like a overnight or something built like a skate ramp in the house. Now, granted, I'm pretty sure that Bam probably paid for the house that they live in.
Yeah,
but anyway, the Tony Hawk 1 and 2. Do you think they're going to add any features to it, or do you think they're just going to up-res it and just do a re-release that way?
I mean, they're having like their you know, online stuff and whatnot.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but
which I don't think the originals had.
No. And it's a full remaster. It's being done by Vicarious Visions, the people who did the Crash Bandicoot remaster.
Oh, okay. So it'll be pretty good then.
Yeah. They nailed Crash Bandicoot, so they should be able to do a pretty decent Tony Hawk.
Actually, they improved on Crash Bandicoot because they fixed a lot of the hitboxes and stuff of like platforms and whatnot.
I'm sure people would argue that one.
I mean,
I thought it was fine. I didn't have any problems with it, but I'm sure like the really diehard like Crash Bandicoot like AGDQ runners would be like,
"Oh, sure.
This hitbox is different, and it ruins my whole run."
It put an extra 3 seconds onto my speed run of Crash Bandicoot.
Because I fell off of the rotating bridge when I'm climbing over the wall that all the Islanders have.
Did they do just the first Crash, or did they do Nitro Kart 2?
They did just the Crash 1, 2, and 3 collection. The Kart one was by somebody else. But the Kart one was good, though. The Crash Nitro Kart is really fun and has those uncomfortably attractive Bandicoot women.
Oh, man, that just reminded me of something else I watched. I watched Beastars.
Beastars, we're about halfway through Beastars. It's pretty good. I actually like it.
But we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
This is a new segment.
We can try to finish it, and then we'll talk about it next week.
Okay. All right, well, hey, let's move on from one game to another. So they announced earlier today, so we're recording this on Thursday, that Nintendo is going to be putting out another Paper Mario game, the next in the franchise, the Origami King. And it had like a 2-minute trailer that went along with it that looked really good.
Yeah, like conceptually and plot-wise, it's a really cool idea. Origami seems like a natural like concept to do in that franchise.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of like hinting at like a body horror kind of situation for these paper people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it looks graphically looks a lot like the one that came out on the Wii U that nobody played because it was on the Wii U.
Which one was that one?
Color Splash.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a lot of paper and paint effects.
Mm.
And just an atrocious battle system that wasn't any fun. Which I'm hoping they fix this time. That's the only thing I'm worried about is like the writing looks good, it looks funny, the graphics are good, but like if it's anything like Color Splash and the 3DS one Sticker Star, then we might be in trouble.
Mm.
Like I'm not convinced that it's going to be as good as it should be.
Well, let's you know cross our fingers and hope. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess, is the way to look at it.
Yeah, that's a really good way. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. But hey, if it's as good as the first two?
The first two are excellent. Yeah. They're some of the best Mario RPG games that there are. it's just, it kind of lost its way with Sticker Star and Color Splash.
Yeah.
Because they had the Mario and Luigi games were coming out at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And they felt the need, they like, we have to make this different in some way, or why does it exist?
Right. And I could kind of see where they're coming from now that the Mario and Luigi games are pretty much gone because there's no handheld that could go back to basics.
And, that and Alpha Dream, the company that made them, went out of business.
Oh, they did. See, I hadn't heard that. Okay.
Yeah. Huh. Bowser's Inside Story remake was the last game they made.
Oh, okay. And, okay.
It didn't do so hot because it was on the 3DS.
Yeah. See, I liked Dream Team, the one with the million of Luigis that would show up.
Yeah.
Like the Dream Luigis. That was kind of cool.
I love them. I love all the Mario and Luigi games. They're pretty good.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's go ahead and get this last game news out of the way here. What is this about the Humble Bundle folks starting a game studio?
A publisher.
Publisher.
The people who do Humble Bundle, which is like a game. It's a game store, and they do a lot of like bundles of games you can buy on the cheap for charity. They've been doing it for like, I don't know, 10 years now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're just opening a publishing branch, so they're going to publish other people's video games, which makes sense. I mean, they're already selling games. They might as well give people money to make games.
Yeah, it seems like a natural progression of their brand, I guess. So that's cool. I'm curious to see what kind of games come out of this whole thing.
Yeah, and they've already like dabbled in it a little bit in the past. There's a couple games that have been like Humble Bundle exclusive and Humble Bundle published.
Yeah.
The only one I can think of off the top of my head right now is that Cat Girl Without Salad Amuse Bouche that they made with WayForward.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Which, I mean, that was a fun game.
Yeah. Well, cool. Like I said, I'm just curious to see what kind of games come out of this whole thing on down the line.
I mean, it's just another player in the whole Steam, Epic, Origin, you know, everything.
Sure, but at least with Humble, it's some of it's going back to charity, so
yeah,
feel a little better about it.
Humble will give you Steam keys too.
Oh yeah,
this is true. Yeah. This is very true.
All right, so let's move on to some other stuff here. So Disney announced the next release date for The New Mutants, the movie that seems to be in movie purgatory and has been for the last couple of years. They're now saying August 20th, I believe they said. They're going to release this movie. And my question to you guys is, do you really think this is going to happen?
I think maybe you'll be able to see it in a theater with the six other people they let in the theater at the same time as you.
That's fair. Yeah, that's true. But
I just don't know if people care anymore.
It's been years since they finished production of this movie, and it's just been sitting. So, yeah, I just don't think people care anymore. Like,
well, it's
all
not
of
just
the
that.
Actors,
it's like the last X-Men movie did not do well.
Not really,
at
no.
All, at
no.
all. And I don't know.
What was the last one? Dark Phoenix?
Yeah.
Okay, so then the last two did not do well because Apocalypse was also kind of a garbage fire.
And it had such potential too.
It really did.
Yeah, it was coming out in after Days, what was it? Was it Days of Future Past?
Yeah.
Which was a great movie.
And yeah, that one was really
that
good.
One was awesome. But
you know what? I think they're going to have to release it because they can't film any new stuff
right
now.
Well, it makes me wonder what they're going to do. Like, now that Disney owns 20th Century Fox, and it's like, are we going to get the X-Men? You know, what's going to happen?
I think we are eventually going to see X-Men integrated into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I think that's going to be all cast, all brand new. And I really think the New Mutants, this movie is going to be the last of the separate universe superhero Marvel movies. But I honestly think this, I don't think August 20th is going to be the release date. I think they're going to push it back again. Honestly, if they give it a theatrical release at all, I could see it getting pushed back into 2021. It's probably going to be a January film because we know January is where movies go to die.
Yeah.
But yeah,
didn't Black Widow get pushed to fall too?
Yes. I think that's November. So yeah, that one kind of makes sense because if they release it on or near Thanksgiving weekend. You have that long weekend for folks to come in and check it out and get a little extra cash. But New Mutants, I have not heard anything positive about it, and it's been on the shelf for so long that it has to be kind of not great. Otherwise, they would have released it earlier. So, yeah, I really think it's going to either get released video on demand or have a very, 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 like, 2-week limited theatrical release just to say that it got a theatrical release, or get pushed back again to 2021. I really don't see it happening in August. I just don't.
You can watch it in your self-contained quarantine pod.
Yeah.
In 2024.
Your hermetically sealed quarantine cube.
Yeah, there won't even be screens anymore. Just everyone gets a pod.
Yep.
It's a pod with a VR headset in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, we're going to live in the Ready Player One universe.
No, it's the Matrix.
It's the Matrix. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right. It's the Matrix.
If we're not already in it.
Yeah. Only instead of conductive gel, we're going to be laying in puddles of hand sanitizer.
Have to be clean. Have to be pure.
Got
to
be clean and pure. That's right.
I don't know. Like, everything's so weird now that the world is literally, like, has to change how we do things.
Yeah, it's going to be
at least for the time being.
Gonna have to drag people kicking and screaming into the different world.
yeah. It's gonna be really difficult to predict how things go, especially in media, going forward, because these are unprecedented times. We just don't know.
That's what the Hulu commercials tell me.
Yeah.
No, every day we have heroes. Shop at Walmart.
I don't want to go into the dark room with 20 coughing strangers. It doesn't sound good to me right now.
Yeah, it's
not
so
at the moment. I mean, eventually we're going to have to.
Yeah. But not right now. I don't want to. I want to be able to, put it that way. But it doesn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, until a vaccine is developed anyway.
Hey, let's swing back towards media news and not the
current
quarantine.
Events.
Yeah. So, okay, so we got a couple of the DC Universe app shows that are going to be making their way to cable television stations. The first season of the Harley Quinn cartoon is going to premiere on Sci-Fi coming up pretty soon. And the CW bought the first season, which is only 10 episodes, but the first season of Swamp Thing, which kind of leads folks to believe we might see more Swamp Thing down the road. What do you guys think of these acquisitions?
Hey, Swamp Thing's not dying.
Yeah. Did you guys watch any of that Swamp Thing?
No, I should have, because I like Swamp Thing.
It's really good. It's really good. It ended on kind of a cliffhanger, and really, really good show. 10 solid episodes.
I think the more people that see Harley Quinn, the better.
I agree.
Yeah, but I don't see how Sci-Fi can air Harley Quinn in the way it's done.
Well, here's the thing. The only thing funnier than cartoons using swear words is cartoons getting bleeped. So if they make very loud, very obvious censorship beeps, that's going to hit just as funny. It's going to hit just as well.
I understand that, but I'm also talking about, like, Harley Quinn is extremely hyper-violent. Like, I guess Cartoon Network does have...
Network, it's no more or less violent than Venture Brothers. They wouldn't air Harley Quinn as prime time, but they would air it on their, 11 to 2 a.m. block, which sounds like a cop-out, but that is all probably the best place for it.
That's where Sci-Fi is putting it. Like, I think 11.
Yeah,
when it's going to be on.
Yeah, so I think that's a perfect fit. And I mean, Harley Quinn, the acts of Harley Quinn's violence are Looney Tunes level. It's the reaction. It's the consequence of those cartoonish bouts of cartoon violence that are infinitely more realistic.
like shin bones poking out.
Yeah. Like a cartoon hitting another cartoon with a giant hammer, that's classic cartoon. But the reaction, the response to that with the broken bone and stuff, that that's what makes it, that's what kind of turns it up. But again, putting it on like 11 o'clock or midnight and they're not going to run into any issues.
I mean, yeah, but
I'm actually more concerned.
Do people really watch Sci-Fi Channel anymore?
Apparently some people do. I don't know. Apparently some people do. The one that I'm concerned about is Swamp Thing on CW. Swamp Thing, there's stuff in that Swamp Thing series, language and other stuff, that I don't know how they would get around it on television.
And yeah, and the CW is network TV. It's
That's
not
network.
Cable.
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to how they're gonna do that. Plus, it's only 10 episodes, unless they're buying the character rights and they're going to do their own thing with it, which would be a shame.
They're going to do a Riverdale style.
Oh, God, a Riverdale style Swamp Thing?
I was more meaning that they're basically doing with Swamp Thing that they did with Supergirl. It was aired somewhere else, and then they picked it up, and they're making it their own thing.
Right, but I'm saying there's only 10 episodes, and the 10 and there are large swaths of those 10 episodes that they would have to either heavily edit or cut out completely in order to air on a network station, and I don't know how they're going to do that.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't know. They bought the rights to Constantine. They haven't done anything with the show, but the character has shown up on a lot of their crossover stuff. They could do the same thing with Swamp Thing and just say, oh, hey, yeah, it's all the same universe.
I don't know, Riverdale gets pretty buck wild.
Yeah, and that's very true. That is very, very true. Yeah, I'm excited to see what they do with it, because that Swamp Thing series is very good. And yeah, they left a couple of cliffhangers, and it was like one of the few non-Sharknado things Ian Ziering did has done recently. He was Blue Devil in that show. Yeah. Which is cool, like the failed actor turned superhero, which is very fitting. It's cool. Yeah.
I'm excited for Swamp Thing getting more life, because they didn't deserve what happened to them.
Yeah,
it wasn't their fault. It wasn't like the show was bad or anything. It got canceled.
It got canceled after its first episode and had three episodes chopped off of its run. So the last couple episodes are very truncated.
Yeah.
The other thing that might come out of this, when both of these news bits hit. Griffin Newman, who played Arthur in the Amazon Prime show The Tick, started tweeting about how he would love to finish up the storyline that they had set out for The Tick. He's been a real advocate for getting that show going again, and apparently everyone is on board to come back and reprise their roles.
I'm so glad he's out there fighting for The Tick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and to look at Twitter, there are a lot of people out there fighting for The Tick, and I hope it comes back again in some form. I love The Tick, and I loved that most recent version of The Tick.
Yeah, yeah. If you have not watched the Amazon Tick, I suggest you stop what you're doing and remedy that immediately.
Well, no, right, see, you got to finish the show first. You got to finish this show. You got about 6 minutes, and then.
Okay,
and then
wait
go,
6 minutes.
Go watch The Ticks. The Tick, yeah.
Wait 6 minutes, then pledge to our Patreon, and then watch The Tick.
And then watch The Tick. That's right. Yep. All right. Speaking of TV shows on streaming channels, we got a little bit of Mandalorian news. The actor.
Ooh, this is neat.
This is pretty cool. So the actor who played Jango Fett in the Star Wars prequels, I'm going to mispronounce his first name. I believe it's Temuera Morrison.
Tony Morrison, I believe.
Yeah. but no, Morrison, he's going to be coming in as Boba Fett in The Mandalorian, as an aged Boba Fett. And that makes a lot of sense, because Boba is a clone of Jango Fett. It makes sense that he would look and act just like him with the helmet on.
Yeah, they did have him redub Boba's lines from the original films for the special edition.
Right, right. And I guess
Of course they did.
He was also cast as Captain Rex in something. Is it Rebels or something along those lines? as one of the former, one of the old clones.
Yeah, Rex was in Clone Wars. I don't remember who the clone voices were in that show.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
Okay, because I heard he was also cast to play Captain Rex in something. But anyway, yeah, I'm excited to see Boba Fett in The Mandalorian and see Boba Fett actually do something.
Yeah.
Because, listen, Boba Fett is cool looking, but what did he actually do in the Star Wars films?
He looked cool.
He looks so cool, he doesn't have to do anything else.
He looked cool and then got eaten by a sand pit.
There's no way. He escaped.
Well,
I mean, now that's confirmed.
Now it's confirmed he escaped. That's true. That's very true. But no, this is good news for The Mandalorian. Now we know that both...
Did you see the other Mandalorian news?
No, what is it?
Katee Sackhoff is going to play a live-action version of Bo-Katan, the female Mandalorian from Rebels and Clone Wars.
Oh, okay. Cool. See, I like Katee Sackhoff. I'm not familiar with that character.
She voiced her in the show,
character.
Too.
Oh, really? Okay, well, I'm not familiar with that character, so I guess that wasn't quite as exciting.
She was kind of a villain in later of the original run of Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. She was part of the Death Watch Mandalorian troop that Darth Maul kind of headed up. But then she shows up later in Rebels when they go into that Mandalorian arc with the Darksaber and whatnot.
They should get Sabine up in the Mandalorian.
That would be nice. But yeah, but she's going to be in Mandalorian also.
Yeah. And didn't they also say Rosario Dawson's going to play
Ahsoka? Yeah.
Ahsoka.
They're bringing all kinds of these Clone War characters into our Mandalorian.
Hey, great. Do it. I think that's awesome.
I feel like we could thank David Filoni about
Filoni, yeah.
Filoni for all this.
Yeah.
Since he's big time in The Mandalorian and did all the animated stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he did Clone Wars and Rebels. I don't know if he did Rise of the Resistance or whatever. I just don't watch that one yet.
I don't think so, because I think it's like a kiddie show.
Mm.
It's like the Marvel animated shows.
Ah.
Which I guess, you know, those Marvel animated shows are like, they're like not bad, but they're also not good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, I did not realize that Django played Aquaman's dad in
yes.
the Aquaman movie.
Yep, that's right. Well, he wasn't in the movie much, but yeah, that was him. Yeah.
Yeah, but man, Mandalorian's going to be so good.
It's going to be great. I can't wait for the second season. Hopefully they can start filming it here sooner than later, and yeah, I'm ready for it. I'm here for it.
Have you guys watched any of the Disney Gallery Mandalorian documentary they have on Disney Plus?
No, I haven't yet.
It's pretty interesting. And we watched the first episode, and like, it was interesting to see all the different directors talk about, you know, the show and why they did things the way they did.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. That sounds really awesome.
And it's got Taika Waititi, and he's funny.
Yeah, he's pretty funny. Did they talk to Werner Herzog?
No, they didn't.
Oh.
But I only watched the first episode. I'm sure he shows up later.
He wants to see the baby.
He would like to see the child.
I'm really glad that like Disney is kind of putting like their weight behind The Mandalorian.
Well, it's the most successful Star Wars thing they've had since they took over the rights to Star Wars.
Yeah, it's the first one they did. Rogue One
was really good, but you can't really do a sequel to Rogue One because the sequel to Rogue One is A New Hope.
Yeah.
And, you know, they, you know, Dirty Dozened all the characters.
Yeah. I'm just glad they are taking a chance on something Star Wars that is not a Skywalker related.
Yeah. Homogenized movie product.
Yeah. Yeah. They're taking some chances, and that's what they need to do. And hopefully
and it
continues when Taika Waititi directs whatever weirdo Star Wars thing he's going to end up doing.
As long as they let him do what he wants to do.
Oh, and you know they will. I mean, well, we said last week when this was a fresh news topic, he basically saved the Thor franchise. They're going to let him do whatever he wants.
And if they don't, he'll quit.
He'll quit. And yeah. Then they'll have to get Ron Howard.
Yeah, then you'll know ahead of time that you don't need to see this Star Wars movie.
Exactly. All right. Well, hey, I think we have pretty much hit time for the week, so we should probably go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can email us at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can give us a call on the Nerd Overload hotline. The number for that is a series of 8 digits that I'm pulling up on my phone right now. It is 586. It navigated away. It's 586-372-8020. Call in and tell us what your favorite track from the Tony Hawk Pro Skater soundtrack is.
All of them.
Yeah. There we go. You can find all of our back episodes on various podcast catchers like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. I'd like to thank David Pencil for the use of our intro and outro. You can find more of his stuff at davidpencil.com. And finally, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverloadnow. If you like the show and you want to help support us, you can head over there and find ways to do that. Get the show a couple days early in the process. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out.